Welcome everybody to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and as always, I'm joined by my wife, Allie.
Hello.
And we got an episode for you guys. Not a lot happened this week, but we definitely still wanted to put something out. We have a couple things that we could talk about. Right? Are you excited?
I mean, I think we have a few things at least.
Yeah, you know,
it's been two weeks now.
We always dig under the cushions of the couch for whatever we could talk about. Okay, yeah, then let's just get right into it. So I guess the biggest thing that we could talk about is it's getting to be that season where all the big games are coming out, and we officially heard that Cyberpunk 2077 has gone gold, which means that it's all done and it's coming out. No more delays. It is locked in for its release date. I believe it's November 19th. Yep. November 19th, which is a little over a month away.
But you know what it does also mean?
What?
It means with no more delays, it's crunch time.
Well, that's something that's confusing to me. So like, is crunch still going on if the game is gold, or did they have to go through crunch to get the game gold?
So from what I saw, there was some crunch going on for a few years now, or at least a year, mm-hmm. but it was kind of not mandatory.
Okay.
Later on, like a week or two ago, it did become mandatory for a sixth day. So that, and when I say that, I mean like, you know, a sixth working day of each week. Which is something that CD Projekt Red said they were not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
in the past, they were very vocal in interviews and stuff about saying that they didn't want to push their employees for crunch and everything. But as you could see, when, you know, progress isn't going as fast as they would hope it to be, you run into delays, which Cyberpunk was known for. It got delayed two or three times. I think it was originally supposed to release in 2019, like March or something, I think. I don't know.
Well, I know regardless. The first teasers were back like in 2012 or something, I believe.
Yeah, a long time ago. But yeah, after its first definitive release date, I mean, it got hit with a delay. And I know that it was supposed to release in October of 2020, and then they got another delay, and now they hit November. The head of the studio, Adam Badowski, he went out and tweeted trying to explain the situation, saying that most of the employees were understanding of it. And, you know, I mean, crunch, you could take it from different angles, different employees handle it differently. But I mean, you're working on this thing that millions of people are waiting on. And I know it's a ton of work, but if I was in that position, I would be like energized. But I can't really say that because I'm not the one putting in, you know, 60 hours a week doing this stuff, you know?
I feel like it's kind of a two-way street in a way. I mean, on one hand, I don't really think there's a reason to have the sheer number of hours that some game developers force their employees to put in at the pay that they give. Because I know a lot of them are apparently not compensated because they have a salary wage, which I don't find to be fair at all.
Yeah.
Especially because I know one big issue for developers like BioWare, they said that a huge amount of their crunch problem with their past few games was the fact that it seemed like management had no idea what they were doing. So the employees were the ones that were pretty much taking the fall for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why they can't just also hire more people for some studios. I mean, you have Activision, who keeps on breaking profit records, and yet for some reason they keep needing to lay off all these people, and then they break their own record again. It just seems like they are purposely abusing the workforce. I don't know if this so much applies to CD Projekt Red, because I believe I saw somewhere that because of their location, by law, everybody needs to be paid for the overtime that they're putting in. I mean, in some cases, just in the creative industry in general, you know, overtime is going to happen.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that, I mean, you and I have seen firsthand with our jobs, and everybody runs into overtime. You know, sometimes it's a blessing because you're like, oh my God, I'm going to make so much money just doing this job. And other times it's like you said, salary. You know, sometimes you're hit with like, you know, 60, 70 hour work weeks, and it's just a nightmare, you know?
Yeah, because even for that, I get paid hourly doing my creative job where I deal with overtime, but you're actually fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I'm fortunate enough to, like, you know, the company that I work for, if I do have to work overtime or, you know, after hours or something like that, I'm able to, I get compensated with like PTO and stuff, which, I don't know. I couldn't find anything here to say, like, on the matter with CD Projekt Red, if they were being compensated other than monetarily, which they are being paid for their overtime. But yeah, so there's different perks for it, but yeah, it's still a ton of work. So another thing that I found interesting about this whole situation is, like, you know, a lot of people see this as they don't want to delay the game, they don't want to upset the fans and things like that. But the way that I looked at it was not for fans. You know, anyone who, a lot of the times, like online, for people who are really excited for this game, like with the last delay, I saw people saying, you know, take the time that you need to make this game awesome. Like, I'll wait for this game, you know. Honestly, it really annoys me when I see that games get delayed and people are yelling at the people, like yelling at the developers for the game being delayed. It's just a really selfish thing. Like, tons of people are putting so much work into these games. But honestly, the way that I see it with this crunch, this necessary crunch, isn't for hitting, like getting the game out to gamers, you know, so they don't have to wait anymore. It's totally for that release window, the time that they want this game released. I mean, look, it's holiday. They want this game out for Christmas so it could be as profitable as it could be right at launch, you know? So from that perspective, I think the crunch is kind of justified. And looking at the statement from the head of studio, you know, it's nice seeing that the employees mostly understand, and, you know, what they're building is a huge, huge thing that millions of people are waiting for. And yeah, you know, it kind of is what it is on the whole statement.
I think it's a little bit of a couple things. I think a small portion of it might be towards the fans, because when you announce a release date, you know, you're basically, it's not so much a promise, but it's an expectation that you have created. Mm-hmm. So when you delay, you have failed on that expectation. And I think CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk 2077 has done that now four times or so, where they created an expectation and then removed it. Like, for me, I'm not going to go crying to the heavens about how CD Projekt Red is the devil because they delayed the game again and again and again. But I can definitely say, after the last delay, my excitement for the game completely tanked, because I just couldn't keep getting hyped. Like, every time the date would get closer, it'd get pushed back. So I just, in the end, was like, you know what? When it comes out good enough.
See, I'm a little different with that, because I don't tend to get myself overexcited for any game anymore. Like, I see it coming out and I'm like, that game looks cool. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going to play it. I don't, like, keep up. Like, I don't, like, really follow the development of it, or a lot of games anymore. I don't even, like, really watch the trailers, because I like going in blind for a game that I know that I'm going to play. I took the delays for, you know, I just rolled with them, and I'm actually really excited to play this game. One, because I don't know a ton about the world or anything like that. Like, I've seen some character customization trailers and things like that. But the fact that they've been putting so much more time into this game, because they know they want to make it great, kind of makes me more excited for it, you know? So
I can't relate. Because I do get hyped, and I think a lot of people get hyped, especially for a game from CD Projekt Red, who absolutely knocked it out of the ball field when it comes with The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
And they're now known for making exceptional games. I mean, I don't see why a lot of people wouldn't get hyped for it. So, once again, I think it's an expectation thing.
I'm definitely not saying that how I react to this game is the majority. I'm definitely just a weird kind of like outlier in this situation.
Yeah, weirdo.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Here you go.
Oh, I was going to say, I think the other part of it is the investors. Because now, they have a lot of money going into Cyberpunk, but they haven't gotten anything back yet.
Yeah.
And there comes a point where the investors, I think, start saying, listen, we need to start seeing results now.
Mm-hmm. You saw that with Nintendo when they released the Switch. I mean, they were coming off of the Wii U, which was like a huge failure. And most of the time you see consoles getting released in October and November for the holiday. Nintendo released the Switch on March 3rd, which I've never seen I'm sure there's been other ones, but I can't remember any other console that was released in the spring, or whatever season March is. They released it there to get it in before the end of the fiscal year for their shareholders. And the Switch is a critical success. So they totally did that because they wanted the shareholders for Nintendo wanted this system out before the end of the fiscal year. So
yeah,
it's on the business side of things. It's completely different than what, you know, everybody, a lot of people just see on the surface for games, you know?
I kind of feel like when it comes to video games, there's one of the main reasons for why crunch occurs is you have two opposing forces coming together. You have the business side and you have the art side. And where movies have found a way to make it work, video games are still working on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. What's your personal take on crunch? Like, do you not mind it? Do you, you know?
Coming from my own background, I mean, I'm a graphic designer.
Mm-hmm.
I find crunch, because all I view crunch really as is overtime, mandatory overtime.
Yeah.
I find it to be necessary from time to time when deadlines are approaching and there's still stuff that needs to get done. But at the same time, there needs to be clear set goals for how you're going to reach this deadline. And I think one of the main issues with the crunch is how those deadlines, based on what they are, I think they keep changing.
Mm-hmm.
You can have bugs that affect a video game deadline. You can have mismanagement, which is apparently a huge thing in the video game industry, judging from BioWare and a few other studios that are explained in Blood, Sweat, and Pixels. I think there's just a whole lot that goes on to it where creatives need to have a clear set goal and the business side needs to find a way to keep them on track, but also, you know, be reasonable about it. Like, you can't have a game done in 2 months, no matter how much your investors want it to be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can, but it's not going to be a AAA experience starting from the ground up. So, I don't know. I think for the video game industry, there's a whole lot of variables in order to make these amazing games. And from how people go about them, I think they make crunch a forced issue. Management does, not so much the developers. Like, just as an example, I think some elements in video games aren't necessary. Like in Red Dead Redemption 2, when you had the horse testicles that descend or retract depending on how cold it is that really necessary?
I didn't get that far in that game yet. I didn't see the horse. I didn't see the horse balls yet.
Yeah, the horse balls are definitely a thing, and I just can't but realize there was someone who had to code what factors go in to decide how much these horse balls show. Someone else who had to anatomically correctly render these horse nuts, and another person who had to make the model.
I'm just picturing, like, it's a Saturday evening, and there's just a guy in a dark room at his desk, and he's like, I should be home with my family right now. And he's, like, dragging a horse sack on the screen and making it bigger and smaller with, like, just, like, a making mean it, look on his face.
Making it flop about accurately. Like, what's the correct physical, like, no, what's the correct mathematical code for how horse balls sway when a horse runs? Watching horses move and all these photos in his collage.
Yeah, the supervisor gives him a call and he's like, hey, Jeremy, you working on those horse balls?
All right. You got my nuts done?
He's like in the middle of a lake. He's like, you know, people are going to really appreciate what you're doing, Jeremy. They're going to really...
They just have me complaining. Yeah. But that's what I mean, though. Like, you just wasted pretty much at least two people's time that could have been better spent elsewhere for the sake of unnecessary realism.
Yeah.
And I do find that to be completely unnecessary. It's a video game. Yeah. It's not something that's going to break the immersion because I know I'm riding a boy horse, but where's his testes?
Yeah. We like, games have hit that point a couple times in the past already where, like, and speaking of, like, the game that comes to my mind is another Rockstar game, L.A. Noire, where, like, games try to get super realistic to the point where it's just not even necessary and kind of annoying. Like, I remember L.A. Noire, one of the things was, like, oh, if you're going down a flight of steps, they're going to go down every individual flight of steps or every individual step. And when you're going down a step, sure enough, Cole Phelps, he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So he's going down everyone. But in the middle of the game, you're like, wow, this is super annoying. And you're playing, and now you play games that are coming out in the last year or so, and the characters are just kind of still gliding over the steps. You know, it kind of looks like they're going up them, but they're still skipping steps because it just feels better and it's faster, you know? You don't need to code all that stuff in to make it super realistic. It just kind of gets annoying at some points, you know?
It really does. Like, yeah. I know... I'm still going back to the Red Dead Redemption one because that's the one that, like,
I played, shots at Rockstar. I didn't see that coming. I'm guilty of it too.
Anyway. Well, I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is the biggest offender that I've seen because I follow a Instagram account that's all these video game facts, and a lot of them are on Red Dead Redemption 2 and how it's like, if you're able to shoot a coin in the air, then you'll hear it go ding or something like that. Yeah. And if you were in a fist fight, Arthur will be all super beat up and then his wounds will start to fade over time. And a whole bunch of like other things where I'm just like, was that really necessary?
Yeah.
Like, most of them I never even picked up. I don't think most people picked up on it. And it's kind of like, oh, what a neat little fact. Sure wish it affected my game in some way to where I would have noticed it.
Do you really have to pee in Death Stranding? Like, did we really have to stop and pee?
Yes, because that's actually a weapon.
Oh, is it? I didn't get that from Death Stranding.
But the animation where you have to stop and go here and do this. I mean, there's a lot of extraness to it. And that's another one. I don't know if Hideo Kojima had crunch on his game. I'm assuming he did, but at the same time, I'm not going to fault him because I don't know for sure.
But yeah, it's weird looking back on the development of Death Stranding because it was such a long time ago at this point. It just, you know, trying to remember it, it just seems like once he made Kojima Productions, everything just went smooth, you know? I don't remember anything. But what were you saying?
I don't think, like, some of the animations were really all that necessary, but, I don't know.
Like, when you're sitting in your room, like, literally everything you do has its own little cutscene.
Oh, yep, you're right.
Like, yeah, that was stupid.
You have to skip, like, 3 cutscenes in order to get finished with the shower. Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
So much, yeah.
When you gotta poop. Because your poop is also a weapon.
So, yeah. I mean, that really raises the question. I mean, like, we have crunch in our own lives, like you said, with your job and my job, too. We have to hit deadlines, but we're working on, like, very specific things. It's not like, you know, 1,000 people working on this gigantic project with each one doing an individual little thing. So I think crunch is, like more expected of us and manageable. But yeah, when you're thinking about the details that go into these games now, it's like, is it really necessary? Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. So. I mean, if you want a AAA experience, that's what you're going to get, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's just when you then see companies like Activision just destroy their workforce after making record numbers of dollar bills gained, kind of makes you feel a little sketch.
Yeah.
They're acting a little sus.
Little sus.
Little sus. I don't think all that crunch was necessary. Nah.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. And, I mean, hey, they're getting paid for it. They're making something awesome. We certainly appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to playing it.
Most of them are getting paid.
Yeah, they are getting paid. Wait, yeah, they are getting paid, right?
CD Projekt Red is, but a lot of, like I said before, a lot of video game developers do not get paid overtime.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you said this earlier in the podcast, how it's like, it's not like a game developer sounds amazing, but it's not like you're a millionaire, you know? It's just another creative job. You don't hear about all, like, there's tons of people involved in these games. Credits take 30, 45 minutes to get through anymore. All those people aren't millionaires, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a lot of them aren't even well off, you know? It's another job.
Well, for Activision, some of their developers, they have a cafeteria there. Mm. They couldn't pay for food in the cafeteria because they weren't making enough money.
Wow. Yeah, so.
Oh, Activision boy. Sucks. I'll straight up say it. Screw you, Activision.
Yeah.
You and your too rich CEO, stop trying to give yourselves bonuses after you just gave yourself bonuses.
Oh, I remember cucks. That, yeah.
Yeah, I straight up said it. You're cucks.
Cuck of the week.
Cuck of the week, Activision.
Oh, but yeah.
Treat your people right, because mm-hmm. they're the only reason why you have money.
Yeah. Well, we played a new game this week. And it's taken the internet by storm. So I figured we could talk a little bit about that. It's getting into the spooky season. So we have some cool plans for later on, closer to Halloween for episodes. But we tried playing Phasmophobia, right? Yeah. Phasmophobia. So we played that for a little bit. I really enjoy it. I don't know if you enjoy it. Our friend Ryan, who played with us, definitely didn't enjoy it.
Oh, he hated it. Yeah. He hated it so much.
Yeah. So Phasmophobia I think it's a really interesting idea for a video game. So you're actually a ghost hunter. It's not like you're just in the woods looking for ghosts and everything. Like, you have like a setup. You got a van with security cameras. You have different jobs that you have to investigate. It's kind of like, you know, Ghost Hunters on whatever Travel Channel it is. So you get these different jobs, and the more jobs you do, the more money you make, which is kind of minuscule. If we were going around the country as ghost hunters and we were pulling in $20 a job, like that would be a pretty bad job, wouldn't you think? But that's how the game starts, and you could eventually unlock more equipment. We haven't gotten to that point yet, but and more areas. So something that's really, really cool about this game, though, is it's always listening to your voice, and it has voice recognition in it. So, like, you're going in there, and, like, before you go into a job, they'll tell you the ghost's name. They'll tell you what kind of angers it, if saying its name angers it, or if being alone gets more activity. So you have to go into the house and the goal is to go into these different locations, use your equipment, find what kind of evidence the ghost will give you and figure out what type of ghost you're dealing with. If you fail to do that, that's when the spooks come out and you get all jump scared. And I scared very easily in this game. You did not leave the van.
Hey. What? Don't you slander me.
Well, you only left when like I died and I was like, Allie, no. you have to go in and do it.
I was in for the first 5 minutes at each location helping y'all set up. And yeah. Then I ran.
Before the ghost.
Because someone needed to be able to tell you when the ghost was being active, if there were any orbs floating about from the camera, and also to see where the lights were flickering when y'all finally decided to turn on some lights in the house.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that. I thought, you know, just keeping the lights off was the way to go. But then once we started turning the lights on, then they started flickering and stuff, and that was pretty creepy.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, I believe I mentioned already about the voice recognition. So I thought that was really cool. And after we got done playing it, I actually looked up like other things you could say. And I want to go back and play it again because you could say like, can you open a door? Can you close a door or something like that? And I, like for them to, for you to say that and then actually have a door close, like that would be freaking insane to me. So I definitely want to go back and play more.
I don't know if Ryan will join us because I saw on Steam he's at the 1.9 hour mark.
He said, yeah, that was one of the scariest things for him was that he was about to pass 2 hours and he wouldn't be able to return it. I don't know. I think it's really fun with friends. It's definitely not a game I would play by myself. I think it would be super.
No, definitely
it'd be kind
not.
Of impossible. And not impossible, but, you know.
I don't think the fun would be there.
Yeah. I think we tried hunting 3 or 4 ghosts. I died pretty much almost every time.
Yep.
Yeah, the first guy was Daniel. And
Daniel Thompson.
Yeah, Daniel Thompson. We just kept on like trying to get a hold of him. I went by myself. He came out. He had an axe. He killed me. Ryan tried so hard to get him to like kill him. And he was like running. He was like making fun of him. He was like, come on, Daniel. And you were like, oh, his activity went down to a 0. Like, he was like making the ghost scared. I mean, obviously he wasn't, just unfortunate luck. But yeah, it's cause for some very funny situations in the game.
I remember when that one that we went after, I think it was Nancy Margaret, and she was just in this one room of the house, just one single room. Mm-hmm. And you put the camera down. And the first time I saw her, I was like, oh my God, Ryan, she's right behind you. Ryan, turn around. She's right there. Oh my God, she's going to kill you. And as soon as he turned, she disappeared. And I was like, oh, never mind. And then she did it again. And he still didn't see her.
Oh my God. Yeah. And, I don't know. I'm really interested in seeing what other type of ghosts there are because, like, I think Nancy turned out to be a little girl or something like that. I really only saw, like, gross man, gross old lady, and little girl. So I'm wondering if there's, like, straight-up demons and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's a huge game right now on Steam. Super fun to play. It's only $14 on Steam. It's crushing it on Twitch. Lots of people are playing it. One thing I didn't like though is, oh, I'm sorry, did I cut you off? Were you gonna say something?
I was gonna say, I think it's honestly a fun game to probably watch someone else play because we couldn't get the voice recognition to work correctly for us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see videos where the voice recognition is like working correctly, it's spooky.
Yeah.
It's spooky to watch.
Yeah, no, definitely. What I was going to say was they also have a feature for walkie-talkies, which, like, you're supposed to be playing in... You're supposed to use game chat and press B to hold your walkie-talkie, and it comes up like in your headphones, like your sound. It sounds like someone is talking through a walkie-talkie. It's all distorted and things like that. It just really didn't sound that good for us. It sounded super low, and it was like cutting in and out. So we ended up using Discord. So we didn't get the full effect of being like isolated from each other. I don't know if that was just
anyone.
Yeah, all of our settings were like up as loud as they could, and it was just really hard to hear. But yeah, it's super fun. I wouldn't say it's super fun. It's a really neat experience. I never played a game where you're like a ghost hunter with that type of, you know, objective to it and things like that.
Forget too, it's in early access.
Yeah. It'll be really cool to see what happens with the game. Apparently you could unlock more levels. Like all the levels we had were like farmhouses and just like regular houses, but apparently there's a high school. I'm not sure what else. I heard a lot about the high school. And
an asylum.
I'd assume there would be one, yeah. And when you get higher levels, you could get better equipment. Like I saved up enough money and I was like, oh, sick, a video, like a head camera, like to put on your head to watch, like you could watch me and stuff. But you have to be like level 8, and I think we're still level 1. It was really hard to gain experience in that. Oh, also, we ran into a couple of problems. Like we finished a couple levels, and we found the evidence. Like we found, like you're supposed to go into the room and use, or you're supposed to go into the house and use different tools to get evidence. Like you would use a UV light to see if you could find fingerprints. Or if you start seeing your breath on the screen, that means that there's freezing temperatures, or you could use a thermometer or something like that. We got different enough evidence, and it narrows the type of ghost down. So the one level, it was like the only option was a revenant. So we were like, okay, we did it. We found out that this ghost is a revenant. So we left. And it said it was wrong. And I don't know how, because we had definitive proof of everything, you know?
Yeah, I think that might have been a early access bug.
Yeah. I'm also thinking, I don't know, it's weird because you have a couple different objectives in the beginning. Like one of our objectives was take a picture of dirty water, because you could turn on sinks.
Nasty.
Yeah. You could turn on sinks and they'll fill up with water. But actually in one of the houses we were in, the ghost turned on a sink and the water was all dirty, so we took a photo of it. And in our journal, it said right above the photo, dirty water. I'm not sure if, like, say, we put a book down, like one of the items is just a blank notebook, and you could put it down, and you could come back to it later, and there might be, like, symbols on it. I wonder if we, like, if we took a photo of that, if that would count as evidence. I'm not sure.
No, so the evidence for it works by temperature drop, orbs, spirit box, EMF, ghost writing. So of the ghosts that are currently in there, those are how you discover what the ghost is.
Mm-hmm.
So dirty water, I think, can be done by any of them. That's just like a bonus objective, but it doesn't really count as evidence.
Yeah. Okay.
That also, fingerprints was one too, because only some ghosts will leave fingerprints.
Yeah, the one house where I think we thought it was the revenant, we saw fingerprints on the windows, but I don't know, maybe we missed something, or like you said, maybe it was just an early access bug. Yeah.
I think so, because for that one too, even though we had a few of the bonus objectives done, it gave us no money and no experience. That and was like, now wait a second.
It was such a punch in the gut, where it was like, oh, we did it, sick, let's get out of here. And it was like, you made $10. It's like, oh, cool, I could buy a...
you got 10? I didn't get anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got no money.
I might have gotten 10 because I took a photo of dirty water, so I have no idea. Yeah, early access games could really be hit or miss with Well, let's just say that some games like that aren't really hitting crunch time like CD Projekt Red, you know?
Well, I still appreciate them.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm definitely coming back to this game.
Speaking of early access games, Baldur's Gate 3 came out on early access.
Oh yeah, I watched a little bit of on Twitch, and you've been playing a lot of it. What do you think about it?
It is definitely early access. I've run into a lot of bugs and graphic glitches, but oh my god, it's going to be so much fun when it's done.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think I'm really going to enjoy it.
Yeah,
how it's currently, you know, looking like it's going to end up.
That's crazy. Like, who developed Baldur's Gate?
This one is by Larian.
Oh, okay. Because, like, Baldur's Gate, I don't know. I mean, Baldur's Gate 2, I can't remember when that came out. Like, that, like, when you think of Baldur's Gate, like, it feels like the game has been around forever. Like, that series.
Well, actually, fun fact with that, Baldur's Gate 2 actually came out in September of 2000, and it was developed by BioWare.
Yeah, so it's been a while. Yeah, because I feel like I've been hearing that name on and off forever. So that's kind of weird, because in 2000, early access wasn't a thing. You know, the games were released on discs in stores that you would go and buy. So it had to be, finished, I'm sure. I don't know, I never played PC games that far back, but I don't even know if they would release patches and stuff for them. It's hard to say. Basically, if you were buying Baldur's Gate 2 on the day it came out, you were essentially getting the finished game. You know, it's not early access, so it's just weird seeing a game of that type of like in that series releasing in early access with issues and stuff. But I mean, it's expected nowadays. That's kind of the state of the industry, you know.
Well, I mean, back then, if a game had significant issues with them, they would release basically a version 2, like...
Yeah. Or fix things with an expansion or something like that.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, kind of like what they did with Diablo. What was it? Diablo 3? Is that the last one that came out?
I believe so.
Yeah, like they had Diablo 3, they had Diablo 3, that Reaper's version.
Yeah.
And the Reaper's version was caused because Diablo 3 was absolute butts.
Yeah.
It was so bad. So they just completely scrapped it, basically, and built it up with this expansion and said, here, get this one instead.
Yeah. People are, like, they say, like, that's the version of Diablo 3 to play.
Yeah. The other one, don't even bother.
Yeah. It looks really cool. I mean, I was surprised. I didn't know anything about Baldur's Gate, and you were telling me that it's essentially D&D. And when I was watching it, it's so cool. If, you know, quest you're on, you're given tons of different options of things that you want to do. One of the clips I saw, someone like was on a quest and collected a book. And when they were going to turn the book in, they had like five different options, like hand the book over, open up the book, read from the book, something like that, or burn the book or something like that, you know? Yeah, it was really cool. And then all of a sudden they did like a saving throw, and like a D20 popped up on the screen and actually rolls for you and stuff. So I was like, that's really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell Baldur's Gate 3 is getting that D&D surge in popularity money, because it looks so good. Yeah. In cutscenes, minus the glitches, like I said, once again, early access, and it was just released in early access, so I give them the pass.
Yeah.
It's the cutscene at the very, very beginning where there's red dragons flying and a mind flayer ship that is going above a town. It's insane. Yeah. It looks so good.
How is combat in it?
I like it. It's a little on the difficult side for me, so I'll do better once they have the difficulty slider pop up and I can set it to babies first, like I do with most games. But, I mean, I enjoy it. They have a way that they're making spell slots work, because right now I'm playing as a wizard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty neat. I like it. Yeah. You know, it combat is basically like Divinity 2. And I know some people were actually complaining, like, why is it turn-based? Oh, I hate turn-based. And turn-based is nothing like D&D. And I'm just like, turn-based is exactly what D&D is. What are you talking about?
So you mentioned spell slots. So do you get like more than you would typically get starting out in D&D? Because I feel like if I played a game that was based on D&D that had like a quicker kind of combat to it, I feel like I would have to like use spells left and right, you know, and I use them very sparingly when we play.
Yeah. They have it pretty much at level one. For my wizard, I have 2 level 1 spell slots, and then I have my cantrips. Mm. That's pretty much what you get at level 1 with D&D. You have your cantrips, and you have 2 level 1 spell slots, so you have to be careful with how you're using them.
Wow. Wow. That's really cool, though. I mean, the game, yeah, like from what I saw, the game looks really good.
Yeah.
Cool. So I like what we did there. We kind of took our little tiny segment of playing what games we played this week, and we kind of expanded on them.
Another game that we played this week was, though?
What was that? What did we play?
Among Us.
Oh, yeah. We finally got on the train. And, honestly, the game looked super fun, and we were just like, let's try it. And guess what? Yeah, it's super fun.
It's great messing with people.
Yeah. You kind of feel bad, though, because I'm never like saying the wrong person. Well, sometimes I do just for fun, but like a lot of the times when we played, I would literally feel like it was this one person, but I would just go all out and be like, no, it's him, this is why. And a lot of the times, like if you're in like a public room that people are just listening to, you're like, okay, that makes sense, and you see that they're not the imposter.
Oh, there have been so many times where someone just says, I think it's Red. And I would have myself go, Red it is. And I was just like, well, what's the proof? It's like, this is the proof. I voted Red. And sure enough, like most of the rest of the people in chat just vote Red. Yeah.
I had such a, oh my God, I had such a pro gamer move the one match we played, because we were all figuring out who it was, and everyone was voting, and everyone voted for the guy who turned out to be the imposter, except for Cyan, the light blue guy. So I was like, that's a little weird. That's a little sus, you know? And I called an emergency meeting, and I was like, listen, guys, I don't know if you caught this. Cyan didn't vote. I think he's the other imposter. Voted him out. Boom. He was the other imposter.
That's because then as soon as I saw that little note saying, hey, he didn't vote for the imposter, what did I do? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sure enough, everybody votes. Yeah. All you have to do to get people to vote on your side is just like declare, I'm voting for this person. Yeah.
It took me about 10 matches to realize that voting off the wrong people like really speeds the game up for the imposters, though. So that was when I kind of stopped, like, you know, accusing willy-nilly to try to win matches. But,
that's exactly when I start accusing people willy-nilly. I'm just like, oh, I see someone in here. I saw that little yellow belly guy walking away. He's mm-hmm. like, no, I was over in electricity. And I think you're full of crap.
So Among Us is like a little, I don't know, it's like a little saving grace for the year. It got released, what is it, a couple months ago? Or was it like a couple of years ago or something like that? I can't even remember.
Let me see what Steam says.
Yeah. But basically, it didn't get popularity until about a month ago, maybe a little more, and it blew up. I remember reading that they went from almost no users online to like 60 million or something like that, which sounds like a nightmare for the developers, like trying to. And apparently it was only, you know, the game was out for so long, pretty much only the lead guy, like the lead developer, was still working on it. I think it was made by a team of 3 people.
November 16th, 2018.
2018. So that's crazy.
Almost 2 years ago.
That's so cool. Like I'm so happy for the developers of this game, for you guys, like for them to like put out a game and then have it really take off like 2 years later. It must have been such an unexpected surprise, and like they must be so happy. But yeah, they actually, before the game really took off, they announced that they were working on a sequel, and now they're just putting everything that was in the sequel as a free update for the first one. So that's really, really cool. I don't know if it's so weird because you look at games like Fall Guys, which is not even talked about anymore. It was a flavor of the week, you know? I wonder, like, it's hard not to imagine this being like the flavor of the week. It seems to be like having even more of a critical success than Fall Guys did. So that's really good for them. I mean, it's not really a competition between the two. They're each getting their own moment, but
they're both bean boys, and I won't lie. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of people talk about Fall Guys at all.
No,
once Among Us took off.
I did see one really funny image. It was like, yeah, because the main character of Fall Guys is like this bean, and it looks like you're wearing a suit with a little face sticking out. And the main characters for Among Us are just these little chubby bean spacemen with, like, they're just basically ovals with little visors. And it was a picture that showed the anatomy of it. And the Fall Guys got, like, the Fall Guys people are, like, the bones and the skeleton structure inside them are, like, a grotesque alien.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
And then the anatomy of Among Us is just, like, a single bone. And I just thought that was hilarious.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. As far as the meme game goes, Among Us is just like, yeah, there's a lot more content being made from Among Us, I think, now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard to say if it's going to stick around, but I'm glad that they're getting their little moment. We're certainly having fun with it. Yeah.
I think it's fun because you can have games that are super, well, none of the games really are long at all. Like, you can pretty much go through an entire match in 5 minutes, and then it's just how many do you want to play?
Yeah, we had to get off. We wanted to get off to record, and we were like, okay, one more game. And the games go so fast. We're like, oh, we can't really end on that. We have to have, like, a good game, you know? So, yeah. So that's Among Us. Very another really fun game. It's $5. $5 on Steam, and it's free to play on mobile. And it's cross-play. So you could play.
It's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you, I mean, the game is super easy to control. So I haven't played it on mobile, but I can't imagine it being annoying. I'm sure it's a blast on mobile as well.
But yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I might get it on mobile.
I mean, it's free. Might as well try it. Yeah. So that was a little expanded look on some of the cooler games we played this week. But why don't we roll into? I mean, did you play anything else? We do a little cut down segment of what we played.
No, I don't think so. Think that was pretty much all that I played. Phasmophobia, Among Us, and Baldur's Gate.
I really haven't been playing much either, but I've been playing Mario Kart Tour on the mobile on my Android. I played it when it first came out. I played quite a bit. And I don't know what, like, I decided to download it when we switched phones. We switched from, I don't know if we even said this, but we switched from iPhones to Androids. And I know in the past we said, like, we enjoy our little simple iPhones, but we had the opportunity to switch, and I'm so happy we're on Android now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I decided to try Mario because the screen is huge, the color is great, and it runs at like 120 frames a second. And I've been sucked into it. I put like, we've had this phone for maybe a month or a little over a month, and I put like 16 hours into Mario Kart. It set on it. So I can't imagine playing any other mobile game that long. It's super fun. I don't know. I'm just having a lot of fun with it. But that's all I've been playing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been doing a whole lot of that crunch grind.
Yes.
Mentioned that we've been doing.
Jobs. So with that, I think we'll wrap this episode up, guys.
If you could live,
that'd be great. And keep listening, that would be great. Guys, if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, anywhere that allows you to leave a review, that would be amazing. Please tell a friend, that's probably the best thing you could do. Say, hey, I listen to a podcast. Why don't you check them out? Word of mouth is great. You could also find us on many, many social media websites. We are on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. We have a Twitch now. We also have a TikTok if you're into the new,
that one's new.
Gen Z. If you're a TikToker, follow us on there. We're Till Death Do We Play on everything. On the auditorial side, on the audio side, Allie, why don't you tell people where they could listen to us?
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Anchor. Honestly, wherever you can find a podcast, we are there. I just know most of the people who find us, y'all, use Spotify and Apple.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you got to this point in the episode, thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We're slowly seeing more and more people from different areas start listening to the podcast, and it's really, really cool. Makes us want to keep doing it, making it better. Reach out. Just say, hey, I listened. It's me. We would appreciate that. Yeah. That's it, guys. Another episode down. Allie, you got any final words?
Let's see what I got in my old noodle.
You got heated this episode, so I'm sure you could think of
something. I get heated every episode. In order to make crunch better, I would say properly compensate people, because if you have to pay them, then you'll know what they're feeling. What do you mean I have to pay them $86 for time and a half overtime? Yeah, that's what it costs to make your goddamn game.
You know what I thought you were going to say?
What?
I thought you were going to say red is looking sus.
Do you want me to switch to that?
No.
I don't know. That one's really funny.
No, I like what you said. Yeah, we're keeping
that. That one's really funny.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's it. Bye-bye.
Bye.